There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Welcome back to the Rostradamus Show. It's yours truly, Raheem Palmer, a.k.a. the Rostradamus. We got my main man in the building, Brian Fonseca. You can catch him at the Action Network. You can catch him at the New York Post. You can catch him at the Mandatory TKO. He does all things boxing, basketball, and betting. What's going on? How you doing today?
Love the intro. Love the intro. Very much appreciate the invite as well. I'm excited to be here.
No doubt. So you're a big boxing guy. I'm a big boxing guy. We got a big fight this weekend. We got Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. How are you feeling about this fight?
I'm very excited for the fight. The issue I'm having is, man, I knew Devin Haney was going to be the favorite. Like, you know that coming in. He's just more skilled and also apparently more mentally stable than Ryan Garcia is. Minus 1,000 was kind of nuts. But yeah, when you think about it, I don't have a real way that Ryan Garcia ends up winning this fight. I really had to think about it.
Yeah, it's crazy because, see, this line opened at 7-1. It got bet all the way up to 11-1. And I guess, you kind of got to expect this when it comes to Ryan Garcia because he's so popular. He took some money. And this is down to 10-1 at FanDuel Sportsbook. You said that you don't have a way for Ryan to win this fight, but is there a point to where you say, you know what, this line is way too high? What is the buy point on Ryan?
We're getting close. We're getting close, but it's he's been wilding on social media is part of it. And it's like, bro, like I know he's trying to compare himself to Mike Tyson and say like, oh, you know, I'm crazy like that and I can get this knockout. But like Devin Haney, I'm not going to compare him to Floyd Mayweather as some have, but defensively, I mean, if he's not showing you some of that, then I don't know what you're seeing. Like Devin Haney, also, if you're comparing resumes, he's beaten between these two guys the best 7-8 dudes between their resumes. Like Ryan Garcia's best win is probably either Luke Campbell or Oscar Duarte, who he just beat, or Javier Fortuna. Yeah. Devin Haney has beaten like 7-8 guys better than that, including Vasily Lomachenko, including Jojo Diaz, including George Kambosos and Jorge Linares and all these dudes. Like, I just think Devin Haney is so much of a favorite because he's just that much better. Again, he's just like, he's there mentally. Like, we know what state he's in. Like, Ryan Garcia, everything I've seen leading up to the fight, he's shirtless. He's talking a lot of smack.
He's high. He's smoking weed on social media. Like, right. They asked him the other day, if you were the boxing commissioner, what rules would you change? He said he would allow weed and he would allow steroids. Like, this guy is like off his rocker. Like 6 weeks ago before training camp even started, his like ex-wife is on Twitter saying that his like he's oppressed and he's going through. Like, so I don't know if this is just a new way of marketing or he's actually like insane. So, I mean, to your point, you said Devin Haney kind of reminds you of Floyd Mayweather. And
I don't want to say too like, you know, not 100%, but a little
bit. Yeah. No, but I got your point on that. And I think the interesting thing is that Devin Haney, he hasn't knocked anybody out since you're talking, you know, 2019. Like, that's how long it's been. He's winning all of these fights by unanimous decision. And you look at this fight, he's a 10-1 favorite. If you want to bet on Devin Haney, you got to find another way of betting on him. And obviously, you know, the decision minus 125 is the most likely scenario. But with Ryan going through all this, these issues, how do you bet on that? And do you see a stoppage in this fight?
See, this is why I actually think Devin Haney could stop him, which is what I've been saying. Now, one of the things I bet at Action Network already is I took a shot because Devin Haney by decision just feels like it feels almost inevitable to some degree, to the point where man.
I call it the greatest hits. We just go play the greatest hits over and over.
Right. And I just, it was like betting Deontay Wilder to win by knockout. Like, you knew it was going to happen until, you know, maybe Tyson Fury. And it almost did happen even in those fights, in two of those fights. But with Devin Haney, I really think he can stop Ryan Garcia late. He wants to prove a point. And I was stunned by the way he beat Regis Prograis, who is another guy that high level that Devin Haney beat last year, I believe in late December. Or in early December, rather. And he dropped him in round three. He won every minute of every round. And that was a fight we're going into it. I was like, Regis Prograis could actually be competitive here. He's really good. He probably drew with Josh Taylor, even though they didn't call it his way, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, no, Devin Haney just dominated him. And I think Regis Prograis, like, he can give Ryan Garcia some problems. So Devin Haney could also be one of these guys where, like a Terrence Crawford, they start off in a lighter weight class. And as they move up, they actually don't get weaker. They're growing more into their bodies and the knockout percentage actually increases. Like Terrence Crawford knocked out everybody he's fought at welterweight, which is not something we thought we'd say when he was a lightweight. So I think with Devin Haney, maybe he adds more power. He's only like 25, 26 years old. Maybe he adds more power as he grows up a little bit. So I actually like Devin Haney to potentially score a knockdown in this fight, over half a knockdown, which I think on FanDuel is like minus 110, 105 right now. And if Devin Haney is able to do that, then I think we can talk about him getting a late stoppage. So I looked at Devin Haney between round 7 through 12. It was plus 400 when I looked earlier this week. Now it's plus 330. So I'm not taking credit for that, but
yeah,
there's a little bit of movement there. And also because I think the way Ryan Garcia's approached this fight, he's been stopped by Gervonta Davis, different level of power puncher.
And he quit
in round 7.
Like, he quit in that fight.
That's it.
When you show that you have some quit in you, it puts you in a different category because he wasn't willing to go out on his shield.
That's the thing. That's the thing about it, too. It's like what I said in the Action Network preview was, I can see a world where this fight starts, Ryan Garcia is ultra aggressive. Like, he's just trying to push the pace. But Devin Haney's so skilled defensively that he can't hit him. And it's like, you know, when you're playing a video game, and you just keep getting beat, you're on the hardest level and you want to throw your controller, like it's one of those things. And then as the fight wears down and he realizes he has no answers, Devin Haney could just pile on the pressure and really get aggressive, push the pace a little bit and sort of just beat him down. And then at some point, Ryan Garcia and or his corner is just like, enough's enough. So I don't think it's like devastating power that can finish Ryan Garcia. I just think it's trying to solve the puzzle, losing at it again and again and again. And then Devin Haney just gains the momentum and just stops him late. Like, I can see it playing out that way.
Yeah. For me, like, this feels like almost like an Oliver McCall situation.
Ooh, that's a callback.
Like, I mean, with his mental health issues right now, anything can happen. And, you know, I was speaking to my guy, Evan Korn, over there at Top Rank. That's my guy. And he said it to me yesterday, and I can't take credit for this, but you could find Devin Haney, but if you just, you know, want to place a long shot, Devin Haney to win by disqualification. It was plus 8,000, and now it's down to plus 6,500.
I don't hate that at all.
Like, if you want to take $10 or $20 or just some beer money and just throw it on there in case the unlikely or the Olive McCall situation happens, this is the fight to do that.
I'm forgetting who Efe Ajagba fought on ESPN not that long ago. it was a heavyweight fight. It was last year. And the dude just kept punching him in the nuts, like over and over, just kept low blowing him and eventually got disqualified to the point where it looked like he was doing it on purpose. So to that point, it's like, what if the scenario I laid out early on starts to happen where Ryan Garcia like just can't figure out how to hit Devin Haney cleanly? And then he just starts like just low blowing him.
Yeah.
And does all this other shit. I don't hate that at all. Even if you put $1 on that, like I don't hate that at all.
It's just sometimes there's no. See, my biggest thing is I want to play Devin Haney by decision just because that's the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
But, it's the safest bet. That's what we know from Devin Haney. And I want to give Ryan Garcia some credit for promoting this fight. Because he is a millennial, he is a social media star. I want to say that maybe, you know, this is kind of doctored. Maybe it's just, this is not as, you know, maybe he's not, he doesn't have the mental health issues that people think he has. And the one thing I saw yesterday I thought was interesting, because you mentioned this earlier. You could see Devin Haney getting stronger as he moves up in weight. Devin Haney's a weight bully. This is a guy who walks around 170, 180, and he cuts to fight people my size. Like, I'm 130, 135 pounds. He's fighting a 135-pound division. And in his last fight, he came into a 140-pound fight at 168. So I saw him yesterday, and he still looked weight-drained to me. Like, so I don't know if he's... I mean, obviously, he's going to take an IV. He's going to hydrate. He has good metabolism. But I don't know if he's still going to have that pop that he should have if he just moved up in weight. So I'm just thinking... Like, I got to play the greatest hits, but I don't want to play this with, like, I just don't know what Ryan is right now. If you had to, like, predict when Devin Haney gets Ryan Garcia out of here, what do you think that is?
That's 7 to 12 round range. And I think it's not, I'd be stunned if it's early. Devin Haney, even when he stops people on the rare occasion he stops people, doesn't do it early. He tends to not do it early. And Ryan Garcia, like, he went 7 rounds with Gervonta Davis. So if you do think that there's a chance that Devin Haney gets a stoppage here, I think you got to play it late because I don't think he's going to stop somebody sooner than even Tank Davis did it. Like, Ryan Garcia was competitive in that first round. He got dropped in round two, and then Tank kind of figured him out, and that was it. And I don't think Tank gets enough credit for just how he broke him down because Tank is actually very, very smart. Devin Haney, probably just as smart. So I think it has to be late in the fight.
So you can catch that right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. Devin Haney to win round 7 through 12 plus 330. I got one more question for you before we move on to some NBA. These two guys fought in the amateurs. I think they were 3-3. How much stock do you put in that? Because
none.
Oh, none at all. Interesting. None. Okay.
No, it's just totally different game. Mm-hmm. Devin Haney also turned pro at like 17 years old and started fighting professionally in Mexico. Like, no joke. So it's like, he wasn't even an amateur for very long. And that was like how many eras of Devin Haney ago. And it's just a totally different style. Like, it's 2-minute rounds. It's just 3 rounds. And it's a lot volume based. And Devin Haney is not really a volume based puncher. So to know that Ryan Garcia beat him in the amateurs 3 times is not like that surprising, but it's just a totally different style to me.
That makes sense. So, to cap it off, you have Devin Haney to win by knockout, and then you have the over half of knockdowns in this fight. Like, I like those picks. I just don't know if I can bet on this fight. I'm probably just going to watch as a fan just because I feel like I'm being worked by Garcia. I really just don't know.
it's a risk. Like, to me, it's just one of those fights where I'm like, look, in terms of boxing picks this year, I'm like, I don't remember, 9-2, 9-3, 8-2, something along those lines. So I'm like, let me just take a gamble here. Let me just actually take a risk here. And I think Ryan Garcia, I could kind of see him bending late in that fight. So we'll see. We'll see if Devin Haney gets it done.
We got 2 NBA play-in games for tonight. Chicago Bulls versus the Miami Heat. Obviously, both of these games, the home team have lost their star player. You got Jimmy Butler out with the MCL injury. You got Zion Williamson out with the hamstring injury, and Miami is laying -2. The Pelicans are catching +1.5. Do any of those teams get the upset? And is there anything that you like for tonight?
Yeah, I don't really have a feel for like how I think the Kings Pelicans game is going to go, because it's weird because Pelicans have not lost to this team all year, but they also don't have Zion Williamson. So it's like, I'm not sure what you do in that case. And then Heat Bulls, I can be talked in either direction. I've seen this Heat team do amazing things over the last few years. That's largely with Jimmy Butler. They have won at least one playoff game with him over the last few years, and that was against the Hawks to close out that series in the first round. Maybe the Bulls are something along those lines. I'm actually a little bit surprised that they're still favored the way they are, but listen, they've been 13-9 without Jimmy Butler this year, and they're able to sort of figure things out, right? I'm staying away from the spread, the money line, all that stuff. I did take a Nikola Vucevic under 17.5, because, you know, Bam Adebayo has been great defensively. He held Joel Embiid to an under. I was on that. And the over-under was 30.5. It was just a lot of points in that spot. And we saw that Joel Embiid, you know, he doesn't look like he's 100% yet. We'll see if he gets to 100% in the playoffs. But Nikola Vucevic has gotten that over 17.5 just twice the last 9 times he's faced Bam Adebayo. And I think that because Jimmy Butler's not there, the Bulls are probably going to have even more of a perimeter-centric attack, where it's around Kobe White, where it's around Ayo Dosunmu, and obviously DeMar DeRozan is going to get his. He has killed this Heat team in the past. I don't think Nikola Vucevic is going to have a ton of opportunities. And Bam against those kind of bigs, like, they don't score on him a ton. What they'll do is he'll probably get rebounds, but I don't see 17 or over 17.5 points for Nikola Vucevic.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. Like, it's so interesting. So, like, this total has come down so much. I mean, you're talking about a total which was, what, we look talk about 209.5, and now we're down to 205.5. So I like that that prop is correlated with that. Now, I think the thing I'm struggling with this game is that, like, how much is an over-adjustment? Because, I mean, I think you're seeing adjustments in both of these playing games. Like, you have this down from 209.5 down to 205. And then, obviously, you have the Heat, which would have been probably 5-point favorites in this game, and they're down to 2. At what point do you say, you know what, this has been over-adjusted too much?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I think a lot of this is still on, like, we don't know if Alex Caruso is going to play. And that's fairly significant to me, because on top of the fact that, and maybe this is why I'm nervous about betting the Heat, one, they're better on the road. They're like an elite road team against the spread this year. Elite. Like, they're second in the NBA, I think, after the Pelicans. Best in the East, for sure. At home, they just haven't been great, haven't been reliable. Now they don't have Jimmy Butler, which also means that their offense, unless they've made some adjustments from last game, will be Tyler Hero-centric. And he went 9-for-27. Heat fans will tell you, hey, he had open shots, he should keep shooting. And it's like, listen, when you're 4-for-19, I'm not sure if you should keep shooting. Like, honestly, like,
so you don't subscribe to the mama mentality. Like,
no, not Tyler Hero's not Kobe Bryant.
I feel you.
You know, like, and I think if people would say, hey, he has to, like, somebody has to put up these shots. And it's like, it doesn't have to be him. Like, you can move the ball. You can run a college offense for all I care. Like, and just try to spread the ball out and just move, cut, screen away, whatever. Like, just do something else. And it was just kind of like, Hero save us, or Tyler go be a hero offense. And if they're going to do that again, then I'd be very scared about betting them. Not to say he can't hit more of those shots, but if you're just banking on Tyler Hero getting 30, 35 points, which I don't hate his over, because I would love to bet his over on field goal attempts tonight if I could find it, then I'd be worried about that, especially if Alex Caruso's there, because guess who Alex Caruso's assignment's going to be if he's healthy?
Oh, it's definitely going to be Tyler Hero, without a doubt. And obviously you are missing, you're still missing Terry Rozier, which is just a big loss for the Heat offensively. Like, I think the thing with the Heat is just, like, when I watched that Sixers game, because obviously I'm a Sixers fan, their half-court offense was absolutely abysmal. They scored mostly on transition and Sixers turnovers. And if the Bulls aren't turning the ball over, like, it could be tough sledding for this offense, but I do think Spo is going to find something. And I think the interesting thing about this Heat team is that when they're not playing with Jimmy Butler, they tend to shoot more threes. So Duncan Robinson didn't play the other day, but you could see him today. So, just a very interesting set of playing games. It's rare that we see this situation. Is there any playoff series that you like?
I'm all over Dallas. I'm one of those this year. But I've also been down on the Clippers. I've heard Bill Simmons talk about this, where he's like, I don't want to give up on my Clippers take or whatever. And I'd be listening to the pod being like, no, you don't have to. Like, they're at some point, it's going to turn. Like, everyone was trying to give the Clippers a title in January. And I was like, what are we doing? It's January. Like, we still have to see if Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy, which we already have questions about currently. Paul George is not like, he's not always playoff P. You know what I mean? And then you have James Harden, who we've seen his playoff movies before. You're in Philadelphia. You've seen what he's done in the playoffs. And I don't think it's a situation where James Harden could just kind of coast beside Paul George and beside Kawhi Leonard. I think James Harden's going to have to be James Harden at least in a game or two in that series. And Dallas, to me, is a team that could make a real run. Like, I actually sprinkled on them to win the West, even though I would favor Denver against them. Like, maybe the move is taking Denver if they're going to play each other and just hedge it that way. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. But with Dallas, this is just the best team around Luka Doncic that he's had, most complete team. Kyrie Irving's been normal. I was skeptical of that. He's been cool. He hasn't said anything outlandish. He actually says something
else. I have a different take on Kyrie than most people.
Okay. So
he's been normal.
Yeah. And then just defensively, they have more guys like Derrick Jones Jr., like Josh Green. And I love Daniel Gafford. Like, I love that acquisition that they have for him. I think that's like the perfect center for Luka Doncic at this stage of his career.
So we're in agreement on this one. Obviously, my feelings with Kyrie, I think Kyrie, he doesn't get out of line unless the organization is out of line. So a lot of people disagree with me on this, but if you look at the situation with the Cavs, what does LeBron James always do? When you play with LeBron James, you're going to end up in trade rumors. Like, right. That's just a fact. So this guy hits probably the greatest shot in NBA history, and a year later, they're talking about trading him for Paul George. So he's like, you know what? Get me out of here. I'm overqualified. Which I can understand. Boston was a situation where, okay, year one, he comes in, he's the guy. He gets hurt. And then the young guys emerge. And then you have such a deep roster that it's tough to establish a hierarchy. And then his grandmother dies. So that goes astray. And then in Brooklyn, you have a pandemic. And like, tell me if I'm wrong, but they changed the rules for the vaccination for the Yankees, but didn't change it for the Nets.
That whole year is a blur.
So you had so many different situations, which if, you know, they just went any other way, like if the vaccination thing doesn't happen, the Nets probably, or he doesn't get hurt. If Giannis doesn't stick his foot under Kyrie's, like his leg, they probably win the championship that year. So he's just had like bad luck mixed with the fact that he's, how can I describe it? He's mercurial.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, he's mercurial. But to your point, he's been normal this year. And I agree with you on the Mavericks. Like, to me, this Kawhi Leonard stuff is just, it's absolutely ridiculous. You're talking about a guy who, Shams came out yesterday and said he isn't playing 5-on-5, but they gave him a knee injection. I'm expecting them to rule out Kawhi Leonard for, like, they're either going to rule him out for game one or the rest of the season. We don't know. So,
like, he's what, year 13 at this point? Because he was in the Jimmy Butler draft, I believe. And we've had how many of these? You know what I mean? Like, there's just always cloudiness about his injury concerns. So it's like, to me, really Dallas, but the winner of this series, like, I would like them as a favorite, or like them in general, to beat Oklahoma City, because I do still believe, like, if you're young, you got to get your ass whooped. And this is what concerns me about, like, Cavs Magic, for example. But, like, with Dallas and with the Clippers, if they are healthy, which I doubt it, but we'll see. But with Dallas in particular, like, yeah, I would favor them probably against anybody in the Western Conference outside of Denver. Like, that's the only team where I'm like, nah, because Oklahoma City's young, and I have not trusted Minnesota at all this year. Even as somebody who has not trusted Minnesota at all, like, their late game offense is concerning. Love Anthony Edwards, but, you know, the team around them is a little bit like, I need to see how it functions in the playoffs. they drew Phoenix and Phoenix's favorite, which is like a little surprising to me, but also I kind of like Phoenix in that one, even though I don't like Phoenix's depth at all. And I'm somebody who believes you need depth in the playoffs.
So this is like, and I'm glad you mentioned the Phoenix series, because we have three series right now where you have a team like underdogs in game one and favorite for the series. And that's one of those games. I mean, that's one of those series, rather. So, like, I'm having a tough time with this Sun series, because based on my numbers, my model, everything says that the Minnesota Timberwolves are the better team here. And yet, Phoenix has taken so much money. And look, we know why, because in the matchups this year, Minnesota has not matched up well with them. But Phoenix being minus 140 and not having home court advantage, it's starting to become a bridge too far for me. And I wasn't going to play this series, but I'm getting to the point where I might have to take the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, you're a New York guy, right?
I am. I'm born and raised here.
I'm a Philly guy. How are you feeling about this series? A lot of New York guys, I was on New York last night with JJ. A lot of New York guys feel like the Knicks are being disrespected, being minus 110 in this series. What's your thoughts?
No, because like, Philly is the dark horse team that a lot of people like to make a deep run. And now, you know, it's contingent on Joel Embiid's health. That's the main thing, right? Like, that's the scary thing for me, is if he can get through the playoffs healthy. And he always seems to have an injury in the playoffs. He has one right now. However, like, Philly deserves a lot of credit, because they're a seven seed, sure, but they really feel like the second biggest threat, or the biggest threat really, to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, because of the state of Milwaukee, because of the state of the Pacers. And I really feel like, not just state of the Pacers, but like, because that series, I think whoever wins between Bucks and Pacers should be the underdog against whoever wins this series. Like, I think, to me, whoever wins Knicks Sixers has a path to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, unless Giannis is healthy, which we don't know, like, I think that can change things. And then I would go back on the Bucks, maybe, but they haven't really inspired a lot over the last few months. But I think if the Knicks are able to win this series, I think they can get to the conference finals. I do worry about their injury concerns and just the volume of minutes. You know, Tibbs is going to play them in the playoffs, and then the same thing with the Sixers. But whoever wins, and if they can be relatively healthy, I think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. This series is big to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm surprised you didn't have the homer pick, because a lot of New York guys are just like, yeah, the Sixers, they don't have it. Like, I mean, Joel Embiid was... What scares me about this series is Joel Embiid is not the same guy right now. Obviously, with Joel Embiid, 32-8, net rating plus 10.5. But you're seeing him hang around the three-point line a lot more since he's come back. I mean, this is a guy who he's averaging 5.4 three-point attempts per game, up from 3.6. And, like, the biggest thing I saw was that Tyler Hero was attacking him the other night. He couldn't make a shot, but he was attacking him, and he got some open looks. And I know the Knicks are going to do that. And you look at the Knicks record with OG Anunoby, you're talking 20-3 and like a net rating of like 13.5 or something like that. So like there's advantages for the Sixers, but Embiid has to be Embiid. And I don't think Embiid is Embiid. Like, I look at the Sixers, they're a very deep team right now. And they have lots of guys who they could throw at Jalen Brunson. I mean, you talk about Jalen Brunson, he was at 28 points a game, 48% overall, 40% from three. But against Philly, those numbers dropped to 22.5 points, 40% from the field, and 30% from three. I think if Embiid is like his regular self, this is a long series. If he's not, this could be a short series. This could be Knicks in five. But the one thing I wish the Knicks would do is push the pace a little more. They play the slowest pace in the league. You're talking about a team who's just, I mean, they play really, really slow. But I lean towards the Knicks in this, and I'm probably going to take the Knicks in this series, but there is some market support for Philly. So if you had to give your best bet for, you know, the weekend, what would that be?
Oh, I think Dallas wins game one. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I might just go straight up Dallas money line. Just real quick on the Knicks Sixers series. I do think, like, my concern with the Knicks is just, what happens if Jalen Brunson shoots 6-for-19 or 7-for-18? Like, he has one of those games. Where else are you getting offense consistently? Is it Dante DiVincenzo just jacking up 15 three-pointers and you're hoping that he makes six of them to get 40%? Is Bojan Bogdanović, who, that trade has been a bust so far, But I think you get him because, yeah, he can be somebody who gives you that secondary offense. I that's sort of my concern for me, where it's like, if Philly's going to have Tyrese Maxey, you know, as long as Tyrese Maxey's out there. So, but yeah, I think for this weekend, yeah, I like Dallas to start off with a win. We'll see what happens in some of the other series, but I think Cleveland and Orlando might hit a good amount of unders. I think that's going to be a nasty, ugly series. And I think Donovan Mitchell, while he may still lead the series in scoring, I think he's going to have some rough shooting nights because of who Orlando could throw at him, with Jalen Suggs, who I think should get real Defensive Player of the Year consideration. But he's not going to get it because we're just going to give it to Rudy Gobert again. And then guys like Jonathan Isaac, even, like, you can really disrupt the Cavs backcourt. And I think that series is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the Mavs. I already laid it with the Mavericks. I laid the series price and I laid game one. I'm kind of hoping that Kawhi is ruled out. If he's ruled out, I have a chance for a middle opportunity because we know this line is going to go up. So that's one of my favorite plays as well. So I have 100 pick for today. We are now 13-10 plus $190. Had a losing day the other day. We're going to try to bounce back. We got two NBA plays for tonight. We're going to go with both overs in these play-in games. We're going to go with the Pelicans, Kings, over 210.5. And we're also going to go with the Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, over 205.5. Both of these totals have been over-adjusted due to the injuries that we saw to their star players, Jimmy Butler and Zion Williamson. You look at the fact that the Pelicans, Kings, they've played really high scoring games all along this year. 135, 123, 133, 100, 127, 117, 117, 112, and 129.93. So I expect that game to go over. And then when you look at the Heat, they're going to shoot a lot more threes without Jimmy Butler. I think they're going to push the pace a lot more. And then the Bulls have played five straight overs because they're just 24th in defensive rating. So those are my two plays, both overs in the play-in games. Brian, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. Let the people know where they can find your work, because you're doing a lot of great work in boxing, in basketball. I know you're with the Action Network. I know you're with the New York Post. I know you got your own podcast. Let people know what's going on.
At Brian Fonseca, NY as in New York, and Brian with a Y, that's on social media. Find me Action Network, New York Post, and also the Mandatory Boxing Show in my own YouTube channel. Just my name, Brian Fonseca.
No doubt. Make sure you check them out. This has been the Rostradamus Show. As always, y'all know how it's going down. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday on the Rostradamus Show. Make sure you check us out East Coast Bias on Mondays and East Coast Bias on FanDuel TV on Thursdays. Y'all know how it's going down. It's the Rostradamus Show. We are out. Must be 21 and up and 18 and up in D.C. and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK in New York.